When John F. Kennedy announced in 1961 the United States would launch a mission to the moon within a decade, many thought him mad. But the US achieved that goal within 8 years. The head of Innovation and Science Australia, Bill Ferris, reckons Australia should set itself a similar task to be the healthiest country on the planet. And in aiming for that, he believes Australia could become the most innovative nation on Earth. That recommendation is contained in a report about innovation. It was handed to the federal government last November and is being released today. If the plan's adopted, it'll require a huge change in how science and maths are taught. It'll also mean the quality of teachers in classrooms has to improve and that private companies will have to give more money for R&D and not rely on just government funds. The chairman of Innovation and Science Australia, Bill Ferris, joins us now in our Sydney studio. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Sabra.
If this report's adopted by the government, it'll mean a big cultural shift, won't it, in Australians and how they view taking a risk and making us truly a clever country?
Well, I think you have to make your own luck, and you can't just rely on things falling out of the sky for you, and I don't think we do. I mean, we have enjoyed 26 years unbroken growth record in the economy, so some will say, well, why fix it? And the real answers there is that we've enjoyed, you know, a very efficient commodities export boom with accompanied by favourable terms of trade, and these have driven productivity in a way that we can no longer depend upon or only look to. We have to look at a greater commercialisation and belief in our own ideas and inventiveness, which we do shine in. We haven't been able to commercialise and take a lot of our own stuff into the world marketplace, which will drive, it will drive productivity, and it will drive jobs, and it will drive growth. That's what we're on about in this report.
All right, to some of the details in the report, this health idea, it's called the Genomics and Precision Medicine National Mission. In short, it's a goal for Australia to become the healthiest nation in terms of life expectancy and quality of health. It's a very lofty goal. How achievable is it?
Well, these, you call them moonshots and we call them national missions. You know, by nature, they are almost impossible things to achieve. Otherwise, you wouldn't call them that. So they are ambitious. But, you know, our medical and healthcare sector is a quintessentially wonderfully innovative sector in Australia. We do have a pretty darn good healthcare system, and we do have spectacular discovery record in our medical research breakthroughs and devices and molecules and so on. So we do have a platform and a basis to build great things in our healthcare system for Australians and indeed people around the world. The fact is, you know, we're already in the top half dozen or so of countries in terms of life expectancy at about 83 years. And that's because we do know what we're doing in the healthcare system. But that's good. But why not have a crack at being number one? And why not grasp hold of the genomics era and the precision medicine that works with genomics? And if we can integrate that into our health, medical and healthcare system to help us even do better at earlier diagnosis, at prevention, at new treatments and cures, which the genomics and precision medicine will help, if properly and fully integrated into our healthcare system, this can happen. And we could show fantastic performance and perhaps even lead the world into this number one position.
Okay, by when should Australia aim to be the healthiest country? 2030, is that what you're suggesting?
Well, you know, the government tasked my board, the Innovation Science Australia Board, with coming up with a plan for the nation, a strategic plan for how we can dramatically lift our innovation performance. We have fallen behind so many countries in the OECD and countries like Singapore and Israel and Taiwan and China, etc. And we need to catch up. And part of it, part of our thinking is, you know, self-belief and ambition and lifting the game can be exemplified by thoughtful national missions where people coalesce to achieve the almost impossible. Our horizon, to answer your question for this report, was 2030. Can we get there as number one in the world by then? That's a big task, a huge task. We'd need a bit of luck along the way, I think. But 2030 and beyond, that's the credible pursuit.
The government's had your report for a couple of months. There are 30 recommendations. How receptive is the government to adopting all your recommendations?
Well, I think the government's well disposed to it. It'll be considering lots of those in lots of detail, and there are some very specific recommendations under the applicable directly to government, but to in fact all the stakeholders in the innovation world, in the whole of Australia, has to be involved with innovation, doing things better, doing things in a new way. And creating jobs that are sustainable in these ways. So,
I was going to say, doing all of that, though, means a big change in how students are taught, a lift in teaching standards. Has it been a mistake to remove the requirement for maths and sciences as compulsory subjects at year 12?
Well, you know, I think possibly. The board, very early on in its deliberations about how we go about this task, landed on education as the sort of speed limit for what can be achieved. And when you look at the graphs on education performance, you've got, you know, money spent by government going up per student. Thank you, Gonski. Thank you, government. But you've got the performance graphs on literacy, numeracy, science and maths all going south at the same time. So that's got to be reversed. And that is going to require attention to curricula, to ways of teaching, to investing in teacher quality, and to a higher emphasis on the skills that kids coming out of secondary school in 2030, so they'll be 12 or 13 years of age, do they have the science and technology and interest in maths as well as all the rest? Do they have that as core knowledge for a digital economy which they'll be working in?
Now, Mr. Ferris, many people listening to this today would think, how does this all square away with the government's decision last year to cut $2.1 billion to universities?
Well, it's a good question for the universities and the government, Sabra. But
not you?
No, I think that the university is doing a pretty darn good job in this country. We are creating knowledge and new things at a high rate. We are ranked one of the few rankings where we're in the top level of countries around the world. And as I said earlier, it's how we translate and get those ideas into the marketplace and get business attention to them, get business and university engagement at a far higher level than we're currently seeing. And I think we can, and our recommendations address all of that. So I think the universities will continue to do a great job and will expand, and they need to continue their job in the overseas student markets, which they've excelled in over the last decade or more. So we see a continuing big role for the universities and the other publicly funded research institutions, the Medical Research Institute, of course, CSIRO, which is a fantastic institution for backing science and innovation solutions.
Okay, Chairman of Innovation and Science Australia, Bill Ferris, thank you for joining AM this morning.
Thank you, Sabra.